a big thank you to Jeremy Vine for doing this rather impromptu recording at the end of the National Star College 50th anniversary dinner at Gloucester Cathedral, where I went up to him basically and said, I've been trying to contact you through your agent to do a recording, and he said, oh, let's just do it. So we just did. The recording suffers from all the signs of poor preparation on my part, having had 3 glasses of wine and sitting in a large cavernous cathedral, but it's still good stuff. Enjoy. So where did we first meet?
We met here. We met, I don't know, 90 seconds ago. But this is big. This is Gloucester Cathedral. This is proper history. This is making me feel like my life is completely insignificant, because it was 1070 or something when this was all built. And as soon as I look upwards, and I can't even see the roof because it's so high, I think to myself, how come we can't do this anymore? We can explore space, but we can't build cathedrals.
Right. And that's very interesting, because of course Liverpool Anglican Cathedral isn't actually very old.
Yeah, but it's not, how can I put it? You wouldn't, if you were going to choose between visiting Gloucester Cathedral or Durham Cathedral or Liverpool or Coventry Cathedral, rebuilt after the Second World War, I guarantee the list would be in absolute order of the oldest first, without a doubt. I'm not a big fan of Coventry Cathedral, I must say.
One of the churches which I look after is from 1079.
Yeah, well, I think I'm really sorry if this sounds offensive, but the older the better. If we have a cathedral from 800 or from something BC, I'm there, but I know it's not likely to be BC for obvious reasons. I just love old things. Is that bad? The world is full of iPhones and I'm sick of it.
Next question, because it's my tea drinking project, because I'm
yes,
a vicar.
Yes, I love tea.
Do you drink tea?
I love tea. It's got to be English breakfast. But one thing I've got recently is a little strainer that I use for one cup. It's quite a deep one. It sits in the cup, and then I can use loose leaf tea. And I've realised you get better flavour from it. So, vicar, if you're going to have me around to your place and you're going to make me a cup of tea, I might bring my strainer.
We can probably do loose leaf tea with a strainer
at
our house, yes. Yeah, my husband's been travelling to the East a bit more, and
right.
He brings back tea. For me, tea from China.
Yeah.
For my daughter, tea from India. She likes some spiced tea, spiced
thyme. I've gone all round the houses on tea. I think I had one called Thunderbolt or Gunpowder or something. Green tea, rooibos tea. In the end, it's just got to be the old-fashioned sort, the builder's tea.
Builder's tea. Because that's my next question. What's your favourite cup of tea?
Well, I tell you what, the thing is, a lot of the tea issue is to do with the time of day you drink it, what you have it with, and where you are. So let's range wider here. It's got to be loose leaf tea at a strainer, and that's going to be your run-of-the-mill, maybe some Darjeeling or something, just flavoury tea. It's got to be sunny, you've got to be outside, you've got to be in a bit of shade, reading, that's reading on paper, not an e-reader, and if possible, in the morning. So if all those conditions intersect, then I'm going to be happy.
I went to see one of my friends who's a vicar the other day, and he said his favourite cup of tea is the sinking into a chair cup of tea, where he's just kind of relaxing after doing that. I think that was a kind of Cambridge comfy chair kind of thing.
To me, one of the problems we've got in the world now is that there isn't enough sinking into chairs. And I think when I sink into one, I've always got a phone in my hand, and the next thing is I'm looking at something, and then I'm on Twitter, and then someone's got into an argument, and then there's a fight. And yeah, I totally buy what he's saying. I don't actually believe him. I think he's probably got an electronic device with him when he's sinking into his chair.
Oh, well,
I'm very suspicious of that story, because if he's sinking into a chair without an electronic device, he's literally the only person in the world who's doing that now.
I shall ask him.
Yeah.
I shall email
ask
him
if
and
he's
ask
had,
him.
Got anything with him that he has charged in the last 24 hours. That's the key question.
Right, I should do that. So the key question
yes.
is, How do you respond to the statement, Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I don't regard Christianity in the UK as a thing, because I don't think countries have religions. So I would much rather talk about Christianity in individuals. And I think it can be in them or not in them, but it's, if it's there, it's never dying and it's never sleeping. There's obviously a lot of spiritualism or spirituality in this country. There's a lot of people questing and searching and looking. That's all good. There's a lot of the really boring, hypocritical church stuff that's gone. I think the way we lived in the 50s was not better than it is now in lots of ways. I think people are really, they have agency now. They really make their own choices now. And that's actually quite a good way to approach Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, is to come as you are, in the phrase used by Nirvana. So I don't think people gathering in groups or proceeding forwards in a great posse is how it's done. I think it's all done by the individual. And the great thing, so Christ was always working with individuals. He called Zacchaeus down from the tree and said, I'm going to dine at your house tonight. He was always one-to-one. And the internet age, the iPhone, iPower, iPlayer age is all about peer-to-peer, one-to-one connections. And so it's perfectly cut out for Christianity in the 21st century. The only problem with it is that it doesn't, you can't make sense of that question anymore, because countries don't have religions, only people do.
What do you think the power of religious communities can be for good or ill then in countries in that way?
Well, I think, that is such a big question, because you look at the troubles in the Middle East that seem to be born out of religious conviction, and you look at the fanatics who do terrorist attacks and communities who've got ill intentions, and you look at the Christian community in Pakistan, which is being, you know, seems to be sort of almost driven into the sea. But then again, I look at the community my parents live in, and my dad is very ill, and my mum is nearly 80 and she's looking after him, and it's hard times, and the thing that keeps them going is the friends that they've made in their church and their church community going back 50 years in Surrey, where they come from. So I think communities are important. It's always difficult to define communities, because Mrs. Thatcher famously said there's no such thing as society, only individual peoples and their families. And it's only when I became a family that I realized there was such a thing as society. When I had two kids and got married, and suddenly realized that who my neighbors are and what kind of people they are is important, and I don't just live for myself. So I think there is such a thing as society, and communities matter, but religion works in good and bad ways.
So one of the things which I think is really interesting at the moment is that the church, as in all Christians, the church in the UK, are the biggest providers of debt advice and toddler groups. Good. In the UK at the moment. So that, I guess, is something of a corporate responsibility.
Yeah, I think, listen, I love the Church of England. I used to be a little bit, I was going to use the word contemptuous, but that's too strong. I used to be a little bit despairing of it, because I felt that it was always fudging and mudging, and it was always grey and muddled. And now I realise that I'm grey and muddled, and that's where the truth is. And I think if the church is that, that's good. I don't want these zealots with the gimlet eyes staring at me and all their certainty and conviction. The most certain people I know are the most ignorant ones. The most certain person I know thinks there were no dinosaurs because he's never been to the Natural History Museum. So I'm very happy with a church that has a bit of grey and does a bit of service. And some of the strong areas of the church are actually in what you've identified, your pastoral areas, like toddler groups and coffee mornings and, of course, education. And I mean, there is a chance that if it all goes very badly wrong for the church, it will have to just relaunch as a school, because then half the country will want to be inside it.
It's very interesting that you say that, because there are so many people who are educated in Church of England schools, but most people involved in education would say that school is church for those children and that community of adults working there.
Right, so they don't have church outside school.
Yeah, but actually that what they do there is really important, behaving as a Christian community in that,
right.
In that,
well, that's
school.
Great. I think that's good. When I hear the phrase Christian community again, it's something, I get an error message in my head, because I think, wait, I only I can only envisage Christian individuals. Isn't that strange? Maybe I'm missing something. Am I failing there?
I guess Christians have always been commanded through the Bible to meet together, to support and encourage each other. And it's that support and encouragement that we kind of do in the church.
Yes.
Kind of what church is for,
really. It is
really.
True, although of course it goes wrong when it's exclusive. And the church being inclusive means it may be, you know, we've got an event here in Gloucester Cathedral, which is on the face of it nothing to do with the church, for the National Star College, which is a great organisation for, you know, people who are profoundly disabled. And it's possible that of the 300 people here, somebody leaves and all they've done all night is look at one of these giant pillars that was made 900 years ago, and they think, if someone had a strong enough faith that they could spend their life building it, then maybe I'm going to look at it too. So the point about me saying that is really that maybe the strength of the church is that it's open to those who don't believe. And therefore, when I, you know, if the idea of a church is that it's a club for Christians, I think actually probably might be problematic. But I've only just really thought of that now.
See, William Temple, who is a great archbishop, in fact, I think he went to the coronation in his Morris Minor, but I might be wrong.
Okay, good for him. Same, he didn't cycle.
Said that the church is the only organisation that exists for the benefit of non-members.
Well, I think that's a lovely thing to say. Because I'm feeling like I have times when I feel like I've got a very profound faith, and other times that I think I've just got nothing. And in both those times, the church is there. The lights are the same, the floor's the same, the ceiling's the same. And that's what shows me that there is, that nothing's stopped, you know. Yeah, it's very interesting.
I was speaking to someone recently, an old theologian, friend of mine, who is saying that one of his great journeys has been to understand that God is not about our emotion at any point. That God's unchanging, and that he doesn't depend on our emotion, how we feel about him. And that's an interesting question when you think about faith and stuff.
It is, but of course if you hate God, then that's problematic, isn't it? I'm trying to think which one, wasn't it Lot who said curse God, or somebody, you know? And I think, I just think more life is more about emotion than we think. Economics is emotion in the end. That's why no one can predict anything. And I think if somebody at the end, what your friend has said is, you know, it's wonderfully certain, and things that are wonderfully certain are usually wrong. And I think that I wonder whether at the end of my life I'll realise that it was only emotion. Because what else have we got? Facts. There are too many facts.
So my standard question, one of my standard questions is, what is your favourite thing that begins with T?
My brother Tim, who is a famous comedian, and without a doubt, and who did the joke, crime in multi-storey car parks, that is wrong on so many different levels.
Was that the prize-winning joke?
Yeah, at the Edinburgh Fringe. And I won it for another year I've sold my vacuum cleaner, it was just gathering dust. What else beginning with T? Table tennis. I love table tennis. I've got a neighbour now who, I was going to say I can't find anyone who I can play it with, but actually I've just discovered in the last few weeks a neighbour who is amazing at it. So he and I have been playing T, the Thames, I live near the Thames, Teflon. Yeah, that's it really.
So I guess I'm going to ask you a Church of England question.
Anything,
which
honestly,
you might not have an answer to, is if there's one thing you could change about the Church of England, what would it be?
Well, I would have said that it needs to be clearer, and I now think that's not what I think. The one thing that I do find upsetting is that so many churches are strapped for cash, and that often they have to, just when they're, you know, they're finding they don't have the money coming in to do what they need to do, they then have to have a new roof. And I think from now on, all people who become new vicars should be trained roofers. That should be basically the rule, so they can fix them.
So I can fix the roof. I quite like that, actually.
Yeah. Train as a roofer, then train as a vicar.
Yeah, that could be the way forward. We had a little bit of a roof issue in one of our churches.
It always happens.
Well, actually, someone nicked our lead.
Oh,
I have
no.
some It was only a little bit of lead, but it was the bit immediately over where the fuse box was. So we had running water over the fuse box, which was quite an interesting issue.
We've done that story on Radio 2, and that's one of those things where you think that civilization truly is coming to an end when people climb onto a church roof and steal the lead. There's no possible positive in that story. No, it's terrible. I'm really sorry about that.
I wanted to ask you a question about the BBC, but it's not very well formed. So I'll begin with a story. So my eldest child's 17, and when we were little, we used to watch a lot of CBeebies because I didn't know how to be a mum, and CBeebies taught me how to be a mum. And there were lots of portrayals of different people's religious activities, Hindu and Islam and different and Jewish and different stories. But Christianity seemed underrepresented for her. I felt that she was, as a church-going person in the UK, she was not being represented even in CBeebies. So I just wonder whether you felt or had directive about bias in the BBC, or whether how you feel about that?
I don't know. I don't really have the information on that. I think that's interesting. I mean, obviously, one of the things that comes across when we look at the BBC in years gone by is how male and white everybody was, and that's changing, and that's a great thing that it's changing. And I think it may be caught up in that a little bit. I remember Songs of Praise is nearly always church, isn't it?
I guess it's always Christian.
And that's the main BBC religious program. Thought for the Day seems to be pretty Christian. I don't know.
I just felt for her that she was seeing everyone else's religious experiences on the telly, but she wasn't actually seeing any of hers at the time.
If that's true, that doesn't sound good. Although, arguably, that might be the best situation because she already knows about hers, but then she could discover others. But I don't know. That doesn't sound too good to me, but I don't really. I'm a bit stumped on that. I think we're certainly a predominantly Christian country, but we do have, you know, other religions that are interesting.
If you could ask me anything as a vicar, what would you ask me?
When you wake up in the morning and you don't believe in God, what do you say and what do you do?
That's a really interesting question. I don't often wake up in the morning and don't believe in God. I think that's part of my morning thing. There are probably more times during the rest of the day where I don't know if I doubt the whole thing at any point, because it's such part of me now. It's been part of my life for such a long time. I don't seem to struggle with that sort of doubt at the moment, which is great. But I do despair of the church, and I sometimes wonder what on earth God is doing, and then I shout at him in my head normally, because being angry with God is a perfectly acceptable emotion to have with God, and we need to remember that. I think we've forgotten that a lot.
Good answer, thank you.
That's great. We say thank you very much, Jeremy Vine.
Thank you so much.